Well, it's not December, but we have the Christmas story worked into some of my sharing with you today. We have Mary and Joseph and the beginning of Christ's earthly life. And I want you to pay attention to that because you know it, but I want you to think about it because I want to remind you of this couple. Do you know that Mary, she probably was only 14 or 15 years old? That's just amazing to me every time I think about it, because the maturity and the fact that Almighty God picked her to be this bearer of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now, as I read in Scripture a moment ago, Joseph is troubled, surely. But then the Lord ministers to him through a dream and an angel with truth that, Joseph, you can be married to Mary and you're going to have a child and you're going to give that child a name. And the name is Jesus. And Jesus will deliver people from their sins, will forgive their sins, will erase their sins. And surely Joseph and Mary didn't know much about that or anything about that. But you and I can look back on that and celebrate that. And that's part of what we're going to do today and moving during these next weeks. But I want to remind you that when Mary was just about ready to give birth to this child, we have the story of them going to Bethlehem. Now, folks, they lived in Nazareth. How far was Bethlehem from Nazareth? It wasn't just an hour or two. 4 days walking, 70 or 80 miles. Now walking, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that maybe we see in the nativity and in these early days that maybe is not quite correct, because don't we usually think about Mary riding a donkey? Well, please go look in Scripture and see if you can find that. It's not there. But I think somebody came along and said, poor lady, poor little girl, she's pregnant. Let's give her some way to get to Bethlehem. She doesn't need to just walk all that way. But no, they walked, or maybe a carriage or something like that. We just don't know. But then they get and they find out that there's no room in the inn. That's one of the things we like to say. They got to Bethlehem and the place was crowded. There was a festival or a signing up for taxes going on. And there were people all over the place, living in the streets, living out in the country, living in all the rooms, the guest rooms. Now, by the way, it wasn't like going to the Holiday Inn Express, all right? You know, that's not what it was meant, that there was no room in the inn. They had some guest rooms in Bethlehem, and they were just all taken up. So what do we think about, and what do we see on the little Christmas cards? We see a manger, a stable, and it's always kind of rustic but neat. It may have just been an old rugged cave in which they found a place to lay down and rest some. Very, very common kind of experience. And in this nativity that you see on your Christmas cards and that we see all around, usually we see three very elegant men standing there. No. They came a year or two later, those kings from the east. And so there are things about the nativity that are not quite accurate, but one of the things that I want to say to us today, and it fits in with our moving toward the resurrection day, is that there was another thing in that nativity picture that maybe we don't think about, maybe you do. It's become a little more popular to picture this. And in fact, I'm going to turn around for a moment, and we're going to look at a picture on the screen. It's a little hard to see. Thank you. That helps us. But there's a scene of the cradle or in the manger, and what do we see out the window? I am declaring to you that we cannot see Christ in that manger without also seeing the cross shadowing over all of that picture, because that's why he came. And so please, always when you look at your nice Christmas card, or when you see a picture on TV, or when you drive by and you see a nice nativity scene, no, don't worry about the things that are just the inaccuracies, but think about the fact that the cross is standing right behind and right around and right over that whole nativity scene with Mary and Joseph. And so Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago, fully God and fully man. That little baby, yeah, he didn't have to develop into that. That was God's gift. Fully God and fully man. Now, don't ask me to explain that, because I really can't. I don't think you can either. But we have to accept that that is a part of God's plan, that this baby, Jesus Christ, was fully God and fully man. Now, I want you to just think with me a little bit, because we are going to describe some of what he was and did and how he came about and some of the things that was a part of his life. Because I want to know why, why he was born. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. This is Almighty God. Jesus Christ is Almighty God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And why was he born? Why did he come to this earth? Why did he leave heaven and all of the majesty of heaven and come here to this cruddy place we call the earth? What was the reason? Now, you know, yes, he came here and he had this miraculous birth. He taught wonderful truth as he was here. He had a perfect life. He had no sin. But in that, there was no salvation, just in his life and teachings. There was no rescue from sin. There was no sense of any of his people being saved. Now, by all means, he did all sorts of wonderful, miraculous, amazing things. He revealed God to us. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He taught truth. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So he taught truth. He fulfilled the law. He didn't come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it. He established the church. He said, "I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail." He taught us how to live. He taught you and me how to live. He revealed God's love to us. He brought peace. He ministered. He healed. He did all these amazing things, yes. But I have to tell you, all these were incidentals. Now, they're wonderful things. Absolutely amazing things, exactly what we are to follow as disciples of Jesus Christ. But did you hear any salvation in those list of things? Did you hear anything that causes us to be saved and delivered from our sins? No. So why did he come? There is one reason, and only one reason. And sometimes it's hard for us to face this, because we don't like death. We shy away from death in ourselves and in others. But Jesus Christ came here as that little baby in a manger and as that man on the cross for one reason. And that was that he must die. Now, he said it, and there's all sorts of places in Scripture where it said, but I share with you what he said in John 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus is saying that. He said, I came here to lay down my life. I came here to die. This wonderful gift that is hard for us sometimes to imagine. And we love to think about the little baby in the manger. But we've got to think about the man on the cross, the God-man, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the fact is, and the reason that I'm sharing with you, that he has this one reason for being here, that he came in order to die, is because salvation, your salvation and my salvation, has a very major price tag on it. And I want you to think about that, because you know what a price tag is. This price tag could only be paid by one that is without blemish, that is perfect, that is the Lamb of God in perfection, sacrificed for the sins of the world. And the price tag, the only one that could pay that price, was Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, that little baby in the manger, that little baby that we love to think about at Christmas time and any day, I love to think about Christmas many times a year. But that little baby came here to die and pay the price for you and me to be rescued, delivered from, forgiven of our sins. I don't want to ever lose that in myself, and I don't want ever for you to lose that in yourselves, because without that, this church is nothing. Without that, discipleship is nothing. Without that, we might as well go watch TV or take a nap this afternoon. I know some of you are still sleepy from the change. But we have salvation because of Jesus Christ, this great gift. Now, how did that happen? He went to a cross, from the manger to the cross. He went to a cross. Did he go willingly, or did they make him go? He went willingly because he knew that that's what he came here for. He gave you and me the gift of salvation through his death on the cross. Do you understand that he died on the cross because of his love for you and me? He died on the cross in order to take your pain, in order to take your sin. Do you remember what it says in Isaiah 53, that the punishment that sets you free was upon him, because by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed? That is the message of this whole experience today. And I'm thankful for the manger, and I don't want us to lose sight of that, because it is such a beautiful, miraculous statement that brought Jesus Christ into this world. But I have a question for you. Do you want to leave the baby Jesus in the manger? My answer is, if we leave the baby Jesus in the manger, then we do not experience the glorious, wonderful gift that he has given to us. And sometimes, and I have to say this, and other people have said it even better than I can, but sometimes we take the Lion of Judah, that's Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, and we leave him as a little baby. And he is completely divested of power. We need the cross. We need to know that the power of the cross brings about the freedom and the forgiveness of which we benefit. But when we leave the baby in the manger and when we say, oh, I just don't know that I can look at all of the cross, then we've eliminated the wonderful celebration. Do you understand that when we come to the cross in our Easter services, the season in which we find ourselves, yes, we celebrate the cross. Yes, we celebrate the birth, but we celebrate it all together, and it's absolutely necessary. Now, it occurs to me that it makes no sense. Does it make sense for a sinless, perfect, almighty God to come here to this earth and to die for you and me? Does it make sense? It's illogical. The logic would be, who does the sinning? You do. And you do, and I do. Wouldn't it logically figure that if we did the sinning, that we should be the one that paid the price? But we cannot. That's why I said a moment ago, it's got to be paid by a perfect, no blemish sacrifice from the Lamb of God. But it is illogical. Now, I need to tell you, and I've said this many times, and I want to say this very emphatically to you, God does not make sense. Now, that's not an irreverent statement on my part. I believe it's a factual statement, and if you disagree with me, you certainly can come and talk to him about it. But God does not make sense. God is not a logical person. God is not a logical God. I hope you've had things happen in your life that you just sit there or stand there or lay there in your bed at night and say, oh my goodness, what in the world is going on? I don't know how that happened. I've been there and I love that. And I'm sorry, but the reason that I'm putting this as a part of our sermon this morning is because I know that you want God to make sense. That's a part of our human condition. Lord, please make sense so that I can feel better about it. Well, that's not the way he operates. His whole coming here demonstrates that. Him giving himself to be here, it does not make sense. There's a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians. Listen to it. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness. It's absolutely ridiculous. It is foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness for those that are perishing. But for those of us that are being saved, it is what? The power of God. The cross. Illogical, does not make sense. It's almost pitiful that we would live there. Yet, Romans 5:8 says what? God demonstrated his love in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does that make sense? It does not make sense. Now, let me caution you, because if you want to make sense out of this, and if you want it to be logical, then you're going to get into what's called a work oriented salvation. Because if you feel like that you've got to pay for your salvation. Now, I have people that come and talk to me and they say, I'm not worthy of what Jesus did on the cross. No, we're not. That's absolute truth. But that's not the issue. The issue, it was his call. It was God's call. Because of his love, he willingly came here as that little baby in the manger, and he grew up and became that man that went to the cross, that God that went to the cross, and that cross was the most magnificent gift that mankind has ever known. And so if you want to be logical, then you might get into what's called legalism. Now, you've heard me talk about that before, and I will talk about it again, because legalism is a complete denial of all that we're talking about here today. Legalism is where you and I seek to earn our salvation, to earn our freedom, and it just cannot happen. It will not work. And so the fact is that we come and we look at the manger and that little baby in the manger, and the manger could not contain that little child. If that child had stayed there, we would have lost the power of God. We're now seeing him and anticipating him going to the cross. Now, he went to the cross willingly for the love that he has for you and me. And the cross could not hold on to him. I will tell you, I agonize when I see an image of Jesus hanging on the cross. Is Jesus still on the cross? No. And so that cross could not hold on to him. He rose victorious from that cross, even in death, when he said it was finished. And here in just 3 weeks, we're going to celebrate Resurrection Day, because the tomb could not keep him. So the manger couldn't contain him, the cross could not hold him, and the tomb could not keep him. Amen. And that's what resurrection and Easter is all about. And I'm asking myself, to make this celebration of these next weeks a complete picture, not just a little bit of celebration here or there, but I was pleased. I heard our pastor of discipleship, Scott Chafee, in our Sunday school meeting this morning talk about discipleship as a lifestyle. And that is what I'm talking about basically here, with understanding more about the cross and the manger and what Jesus Christ has done for you and me. It is not just a little piece of our life. It is not a Sunday morning experience. It is not just sitting in here. I'm so thrilled that you're here. But it is not just sitting in here. It is not being a part of your Bible study group. I love your Bible study groups. But this whole picture, the only way we can honor the gift that has been given to us is make this whole picture a part of our lifestyle. So I want you to think about that for a minute. I love the church. I love this church. I love the church of Jesus Christ. I love the church that he has established and continues to develop. I want to have an invitation hymn this morning. I'm going to ask one of our pianists, whoever, and wherever she is, there she is. We're going to do Amazing Grace. We're going to do two verses of Amazing Grace. And I want you to think now. Sometimes when we get to an invitation hymn, we think, well, I'm going to kind of tune out here because I've already accepted Christ. I've already become a member of the church. I've already committed myself to the Lord. Well, yes, I trust that as I'm looking at you, maybe every person in here is an absolutely committed Christian. I hope so. But the invitation hymn is still for all of us, myself included, because we need to commit ourselves to the Lord every day. We need to understand the amazing grace that we're about to sing about. We need to understand about the cross of which I've spoken. We need to take it as a lifestyle, as a serious complete picture of our life, not just a Sunday picture of our life. And so we're going to stand and sing these two verses, and I want you, every person in here, to think about what God is saying to you. What is His purposes in you being here today? Maybe you come because it's your habit. It's a great habit. Maybe you come to see your friends. That's a great thing, fellowship and friendship. Yes, but there's something much, 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 much deeper when we look at the baby in the manger all the way to the Jesus man on the cross. So let's stand and sing two verses of Amazing Grace.